Okay, Yedalad Amid Beis, by you it's 14b2. We're going to start again, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom. Bro, you want a Gemara?
Yeah.
Okay, the Gemara says, coffee breaks over. I lost my voice. Okay, we just started this Gemara last time, but there's a very, very famous Gemara, very interesting Gemara. Don't Rabbanan learned. Well, Yudalad Amid Beis in Chagiga, don't forget. 2, 4, 6, 8 lines at the bottom of the page. Don't Rabbanan learned. Abon Nichnasul Bepardis, four tzaddikim entered Pardis. Now, Pardis literally means an orchard. Here it refers to the secrets of the Torah. They went into the secrets of Torah, and Tosis and Rashi both say they pronounced the name of God, Kabbalistic name of God, and that allowed them to go all the way up in the spiritual realms to the highest, highest levels. And these are the four. Benazai, Benzema, Acher, and Rabbi Kiva. Now, Acher, the Gemara says, refers to Elisha ben Avuya. That was his name. He's quoted in Pirkei Avos. But Elisha ben Avuya was the teacher of Rav Meir. And the reason why he was called Acher, because he became a different person, as the Gemara will soon explain. Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva was the fourth one that went in. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Kiva said to these people, and you have to understand, everything here cannot be taken literally. I mean, that's a given. Amlam Rabbi Kiva said, "Kshaatem magia meitzel avni shayish tohar. When you come near the pure marble stones, al teimru mayim mayim. Don't say there's water here. There's water here. How could we continue further because we're blocked with water? Mishum shenema, because it says in the pasuk, David shekarim, a person who speaks lies, layikan leneged enoi, should not live before my eyes." God says. Now, basically, what happens over here is as follows. Basically, as the Mefarshim explained, there were stones built in the heavenly chambers. These are pure, transparent, like water. These are all described physically, but obviously they're completely spiritual. Rabbi Kiva said, when you see these pure marble stones, don't take them in, this is what Rabbi Kiva says to them, don't take them in a physical sense, to think that there's water blocking our way. Just be quiet. So what happened? They didn't listen to Rabbi Kiva. Benazai hits its mace. Benazai glanced towards godliness, which he wasn't supposed to, because the pasuk says, "Kleirani ha'adam v'chai." No person could see me and live. Meaning, he took it too physical. And the Gemara says, what happened to him? The mace, he died. Benazai died. All of Akasav Emer concerning him, the pasuk says, Yakur Beine Hashem, it's difficult in the eyes of God, Hamav Selah Hasidov, the death of his devout ones. So Benazai, as the Mefarshim explained, Benazai was very great, but when Benazai looked at God, even though he was very young, that's why he was even called Ben Azai. His name was Shimon Ben Azai. But he's not known as Shimon Ben Azai. And one of the reasons is because he died young. So they basically said, like, this is this guy's Azai's kid. But he was Shimon Ben Azai. When he looked, it was too great a level of Kedusha. And as we said, the Pasuk says, no person can see God and live. So Ben Azai died. Benzema, what did Benzema do? Hitzitzi also looked. Benifka, and became mentally unstable. He went to Meshuggah. Shenemar, v'olav akosav emir, about him the Pasuk says, Dvash matzasa, when you find honey, echol dayach, eat what's sufficient for you. Pentis banu, lest you will be saturated, vakiyasin, you'll throw it up. Meaning, in a simple sense, he saw too much godliness, he couldn't understand it in the proper perspective, so he went meshugah. So Benazai died, Benzema went meshugah. Acher, no, you guys are in the wrong place. You have to go to the later, second half of the book. It's good. I told you the story once. The Rebbe in France once had to give a class in Gemara. This is before he was Rebbe, had to give a class in Gemara. But there weren't enough Gemaras. So the Rebbe took another Gemara. And he opened the Gemara, and he's reading from the Gemara, and he's teaching the Gemara that everybody's learning. After the class, they realized that he had a different Gemara. But he was saying by heart, their Gemara. But he didn't want anybody to know. So he was just, as if he was... must be smart. Yep. Okay. Acher, what happened to Acher? Well, you dial it on the base. Now we're three lines at the bottom of the page. Page 28 in Chagiga. Acher, what did Acher do? Kitez benetias. Literally, it means he chopped down saplings in the orchard, which basically means he damaged and perverted his understanding, and he became an apicatus. Okay? So, from the three people, three of the four that went in, one died, went mentally unstable, and one became a complete apicatus, a complete non-believer. Rabbi Kiva Yotze B'Shalom. And Rabbi Kiva was the only one that went out peacefully. Now, in Yaakov, the version of this Gemara is Rabbi Kiva Nichnes B'Shalom V'Yotze B'Shalom. He went in peacefully, and he went out peacefully. And Rabbi Nesich explains, why does that version of the Gemara say he went in peacefully? It says the reason why Rabbi Kiva came out peacefully, because he went in with the right attitude. And this is connected, Chassidus explains, to this week's Parsha. Not helping. I don't have a sore throat, I just lost my voice, finished. It's okay, it's fine. Rabbi Kiva, in this week's Parsha, we read in the Chumash a similar story to these three. We read about the death of Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu, it says, brought a foreign fire. Or as it says later on in Parshas Achrimais, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem, they went, they brought this fire before God, Vayamusu, and they died. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in Chumash explains according to Kabbalah that what happened of the sin of Nadav and Avihu was similar to the three sins of Benazi, Benzema, and Acher. What happened? They saw such a great revelation of godliness when the Mishkan was built and the fire came down from God that they looked where they shouldn't. And the Aruch Chaim explains, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem, they went too close to God, and because of that, they died. Rabbi Kiva was the only one that understood that you have to come out peacefully, and in order to come out peacefully, you have to go in peacefully. What?
With Aaron's sons, did their souls also, dissolve into God and just, be annihilated?
Yep.
Or just
no, they went back to God.
So, they won't be resurrected?
Correct. They said they will be resurrected. Not even if he will be. Are still there.
Now the Gemara tells a story. When Benzema was up there in heaven, Shalom is Benzema, they asked Benzema a question. Mal is Sarusi Kalba. Are you allowed to neuter a dog? Can you sterilize a dog? They asked him this question when he was up in the Pardis. Before, it doesn't say who. Here it says, they asked Benzema this in heaven. Other people say they asked him when he was down here on earth. But he asked him a shayla, can you murder a dog?
What happened? Amar lahem, he said to them, it says in the pasuk, uba'artzachem leisasu, it says in the pasuk that an animal, a korban, that has sterilization to it, in any way, you're not to bring as a korban. So it says in the pasuk, after that, uba'artzachem leisasu, that in your land, meaning not in the Beis HaMikdash, even in your normal lifestyle, you're not allowed to sterilize an animal. So he has said to them, basically, you can't do it. Okay, now, then he asked another, and this is a very interesting question. And this is a source, you know, when people hear about modern-day medical issues, and they say, where do you find a source for this in Torah? This is one of the sources in Torah of artificial insemination. Shalo is Ben Zayma. They asked Ben Zayma another shayla. Psula she'ibra. If a virgin became pregnant, ma'al l'kayin gadol, can she marry a kayin gadol? Now we know, the Torah says, a kayin gadol can only marry a virgin. A kayin gadol can only marry a virgin. So the question is, if she's pregnant, does that mean she's not a virgin, or is it possible to be a virgin even though she's pregnant? What's the question? Michai shin l'shmuel, are we concerned with what Shmuel said? The Amr Shmuel said, Yochel ani livel kama be'ilis b'lei dam. Shmuel said, he was an expert in marital relations, and he said, I can have relations with a woman, with a virgin, without causing her to bleed. Based on the positions or whatever. So therefore do we say that therefore maybe she's not a virgin. In other words, she might technically be a virgin, but she's not a virgin. Therefore, it will be forbidden. Oy Dilma, the Shmuel is Shchicha, or therefore, Shmuel is uncommon. Therefore, she's still a virgin, but she must be pregnant in a different way. So that's the question. Amar Lahusa Ben Zayma answered them, the Shmuel is Shchiach. Shmuel scenario is not common. We're not afraid somebody did a Shmuel trick on the girl. But Chayshina, what we're afraid is, she's a virgin and she got pregnant anyway. How? Shema Bambati Ibra. She became pregnant in a bathhouse. Okay, bathtub, bathhouse. Now, what means is as follows. A man went into the bathtub or the mikveh before her, gave off seed, and when she went into the bathtub after him, the seed went into her, and she became pregnant. And by the way, the Gemara in a different place tells a story that's what happened. Such a story happened.
So it's possible.
It's possible.
When's the last time you've had that?
It's artificial insemination.
So it doesn't mean it supports it or doesn't support it. It just says it could happen.
It could happen. 1 second. So the Gemara asks, how could that be? How could you get pregnant like that? From a Shmuel said, "Kol shechazer sheni yerek kechetz." Any seminal emission that doesn't shoot like an arrow cannot fertilize. So obviously, if it's in the bathtub and it's going there, it's not shooting. So how could she get pregnant? So the Gemara says that's not what Shmuel meant. Meikaranami yere kechetzave. The Gemara says the case was when the guy emitted this sperm into the bathtub, it did shoot out like an arrow. So it doesn't have to shoot into her like an arrow. It had to come out from the man like an arrow. And then, even if it goes into the woman, not in a way of an arrow, she could become pregnant. So therefore, the Gemara says, it's possible to have a pregnant virgin. And therefore, she would be allowed to marry a Kohen Gadol. Now, while we're on the topic, artificial insemination is a shaila in halacha, is it allowed or not? There's a few issues.
in artificial insemination. One issue is, if you use donor sperm, the question is the child a mamzer? Because you're putting, it's not to actual intercourse, but you're still putting somebody else's sperm.
We don't know what it is.
It doesn't matter, but it's not the husband's. Right? So the shaila is the kid a mamzer or not? Now, if it would be Gaisha sperm, the kid wouldn't be a mamzer, according to all opinions.
How would you know that?
Because if a guy has relations with a Jewish woman who's married and makes her pregnant, the kid's not a mamzer. Only if a Jew has relations with a married woman and she becomes pregnant from him, the kid is a mamzer. Okay? The shaila over here is, does that issue of artificial insemination render the child a mamzer? So there are opinions in halacha that say, yes, the kid's a mamzer, if it's donor sperm. Most authorities maintain that it's not a mamzer, because a mamzer can only be when there's actual physical relations. When this is put in by a doctor, it's not the actual intercourse, so then the kid's not a mamzer. But the halachic problem with that is, who's the father of the child? You have a big problem.
Well,
for instance, if the donor sperm... What happens if the husband, let's say, has no sperm count? Okay, see, they use only donor. So then the shaila is, technically he would be the father of the child. Which means, if he's a guy, then the kid's father is a guy.
He's still Jewish.
Yeah, but that means if it's a girl, she can't marry a kohen. Because a girl whose father is a guy cannot marry a kohen. Then, there's other issues. Who can she marry, who can she not marry?
Well, she can marry anybody else of the kohen, right?
But the question is, can she marry relatives of her biological father? So you have all these... No more gemaras? There's underneath over there, there's a gemara. So therefore, there's a lot of issues with artificial insemination that you're not allowed to do with donor sperm. Basically.
I hope you would ask your rabbi.
I understand that. But a lot of people do ask the question after the fact. So then the question is...
A lot of Jews.
I mean, religious people obviously are going to ask beforehand. But you have a lot of issues, parental, you know, lineage, who's the father, who's not the father, is it considered a mamzer, is it not considered a mamzer? But from this Gemara, you see clearly the Gemara doesn't speak Baba Mice. In fact, it brings down over here that there is a report of such occurrence, who just got, you know, and they discuss the paternity of such, but it's written in modern day English literature of halacha. This is one of the big issues about artificial insemination. Now, even if you use, there's other issues involved over here. Let's say you don't use donor sperm. You only use husband sperm. Okay? Now, there's a lot of other issues involved. How do you get it? How do you get the sperm? Number two, can it be injected in the woman while she's in nida? It's another question. Because if the woman's in nida, can you put sperm into her from her husband, granted, but she's in nida? Which is also, again, I'm not saying what the halacha is, because it's, you know, different opinions, and you could do it, you can't do it, whatever. But the issue, just bringing out the halachic issues involved in this shaila. But what you see from the Gemara is that it's possible for a woman to become pregnant without actual relations.
But only like halacha you learn is concerning a kohen gadol.
No, you're right. The Gemara's question is, if she's a virgin who's pregnant, can a kohen gadol marry her? Right? But that means, though, there's a case, a realistic case, of a woman getting pregnant from a bathtub.
So the answer should be no, she cannot marry a kohen gadol.
Because we don't know what her father is.
No, but that she's still a virgin. So, no, we're speaking the bathtub was the only Jews.
But it's only about the mother, not the child, right?
With what?
It's about the mother marrying the Kohen Gadol, not the kid.
No. Yeah, the Gemara's question is the mother. But...
It's not the question...
Right, the question is not about the kid.
It's not the question of the Kohen, if he's known.
Yeah, but it might be a different Shiloh, because... She might have a din of a zayna, but obviously the Gemara says she doesn't, because the Gemara is learning that the guy that produced the sperm in the bathtub that she got pregnant from was Jewish.
So that means that she's a mamza.
No, because it's not actual relations. Okay. See, the goyim don't have a problem with this. The Yoshki guys. Okay. Tana Rabbanan learned in another braisa. Maise Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. There was a story of Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Shoyu Emir Agav Maile Bar Habayis. He was standing on a step in Har Habayis. V'ro ben Zayma, and he saw ben Zayma. And Ben Zayma didn't stand up for Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Now Ben Zayma was much younger than Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. So logically Ben Zayma would have to stand up for him, for respect. But Ben Zayma was in a different world. He didn't see him. And the Gemara says, Amalei. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya said to Ben Zayma, Me'ayin o la'ayin Ben Zayma, where are you coming from and where are you going? And as he basically said to him, well, which world are you in? Amalei, so Ben Zayma said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, Seifa Yisi bin Mayim al Yenim l'mayim tafeinim. I was looking at the difference between the mysteries of the higher waters and the lower waters. You know, in the second day of creation, God made the heavens that separated the higher waters and the lower waters. Okay? So he said basically, Ben Zayma said, I was involved mentally in the mysteries of the creation. And there's no difference. The difference between the higher waters and the lower waters is only three fingers. And God hovers over the waters, like the dove that hovers over its babies, and doesn't touch them. He said, God is hovering over the water like the dove hovering over its kids. So this is what Ben Zayma said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, that's where I was, and I didn't notice you, and that's why I didn't stand up. Okay? Amalem Rabbi Yeshua le Talmidav, so Rabbi Yeshua said later, tis Talmidim, Adayim Ben Zayma ben Bachutz. Ben Zayma is still on the outside, meaning he doesn't know what the heck he's talking about. He lost it. Why? Micht, he said. The Pasuk said that the Spirit of God hovered over the water. Amisava. When does that Pasuk say God hovered over the water? By Yom Rishon, on the first day of creation. Yeah? So, when did God create the heaven? On the second day. So how can Ben Zayma say that God hovered between the waters based on a pasuk of the first day of creation, if the heavens were created on the second day of creation? So he said, Ben Zayma lost it. Havdola beyem sheinu dahava, because it says v'imavdol bein mayim levoyim, that the rakia separated between the higher water and the lower water. So he said basically to him, Rabbi Yeshua said to students, Ben Zayma lost it. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So the Gemara asks, if so, v'kama, so how much of a difference is there between the higher waters and the lower waters? Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, k'moli nima, the width of a hair. Rabbanan amri de chacham say beguda de gamla, like one plank on a bridge next to another plank, that you put the planks next to each other. Marzut Ravisei Maravasi Omar,
Kitrei Galima, the first Adad, like two garments spread one over the next. The mamash going into each other. But Amnon, other people say, Kitrei Kasa, like two cups, the Schifei Adadi, which are put one inside the next. Meaning, the Mefarshim explain, each one gets getting less. A hair breadth is still a difference. Two planks are touching each other. The clothing go into each other. And one cup is mamish in each other. So basically, Ben Zayma said the difference between water and water is three fingers, and they all disagree with him. It's much, much less. So now the Gemara says as follows. Now Gemara is going to talk the story of Acher.
I don't know.
It can't be after Omin Ben Zayma. Yeah, went Meshuggah, maybe. But Azay couldn't because he died. Ben Zayma was still alive. Now the Gemara says as follows. Acher kitzes benetias. Acher chopped down. Can't do that, please. The water there? What's going on with me? Yes, I'll be mayim sham. Okay, it's okay. Thanks. Acher kitzes benetias. Acher cut down saplings, meaning he did what he wasn't supposed to and he became an apicatus. All of Akosav Emed, concerning him, the Pasuk says, Al titein espicha lach tibi es psarecha. Let not your mouth bring guilt. There's no more. That's it. It's okay, look in with somebody. All of Akosav Emet concerning Acher, the Pasuk says, Al titein espicha, let not your mouth bring down guilt as psarech upon your flesh. So the Gemara explains that he went down. He became an apicatus. So the Gemara says, what caused him to become an unbeliever? What did he see up there that caused him not to believe? So the Gemara says, Chazim Metatrin. There's an angel, for short is called Metat, but the real name is Metatrin. Da'asav alei Roshusa, who was given permission, Lemesiv to sit, Lemichtev Zachvasa the Yisrael, to record the merits of the Jewish people. So what did Acher see? Metatrin, this angel, was sitting in heaven, and he was writing the merits of the Jewish people. Now, Matatrin, and the Mefarshim explain, is the numerical value of the word Shaddai, which is the name of God. So therefore, that God's name is in Matatrin. So Matatrin was sitting as an angel, and he was writing the merits of the Jewish people. Amar, so when Acher saw this Malach sitting, Amar, he said, Gemira, we have a tradition, the Lamaila that above, in heaven, Lo have a yeshiva, v'le tachris, there's no sitting, there's competition. V'le eid, if not back. V'le ipui, and not weariness. Yet, metatrin is sitting. What caused Acher to become an apicatus? He saw metat sitting. And Acher said, one minute, we know that there's no sitting upstairs. So he says, Shemach has shalom shtei reshu yisein. Maybe there's two gods. Maybe there's a level of God that doesn't sit, and there's a level of God that does sit. So Acher started thinking, maybe there's two gods. What happened? Afkula Metatrin said he took Metatrin out from behind the partition. Umachyu sheet and pulsa denera, and they beat him up with 60 blows of fire.
Who did?
Hashem. Or whoever did it.
The guys
upstairs. No, Pulsed Denur, it may be an expression in Hebrew. It says, they inflicted 60 blows of fire. It says, why? Why is the Cheshem 60? So he brings down, at the bottom, over here an interesting thing. Bezdin, Shalomata, the earthly Bezdin, punished you from the age of 13.
the heavenly Beis Din punishes you from the age of 20. Now, when you get Malchus, 39 lashes, it's 3 times 13. So you get 3 for the amount of years that you're obligated in mitzvahs. If the heavenly court doesn't punish you until you're 20, 3 times 20 is 60. So Matad got beat with 60 lashes. So, Amrulei, so they said to Matritin, why, when you saw Acher, didn't you stand up? In other words, they blamed Matat for Acher becoming an Apicurus. Why did Acher become an Apicurus? Because Matat was sitting. So the Chevre upstairs, the boys, said to him, why were you sitting? Why aren't you standing? Establish, 1 second.
When most of them came in.
Huh?
Why you were sitting when Acher came in.
Right. That in other words, you caused Acher to make such a terrible mistake. So what happened? Isyavta le reshusa, Matrita was given permission, lemimcha gzachvasa da Acher, to erase all the merits of Acher's life. All the good that Acher did was erased because he became an Apicurus. And it says, Yotz of Baskel, a voice came out from heaven and said, Shuvu banim shevavim, return, my wild sons, do tshuva, chutz mi Acher, except Acher. A voice came out from heaven, basically, and said, everybody could do tshuva, except Acher. What happened? Amar, so Acher heard the voice, from heaven, and he said, Hail v'yitreo gavim yol alma, meaning himself, he spoke in third person. The fact that I'm thrown out of the world to come, so let me enjoy life at least. Let me enjoy, if I'm not having Gan Eden, let me at least enjoy this world. So what happened? So Acher went out into bad company. He became a sinner. He went out and found a prostitute. Tava, he asked for her services. Amalei, so the prostitute said to him, V'lav Elisha ben Avuyat, aren't you the great tzaddik, Elisha ben Avuya? What are you doing with me? What did he do? Akar pugla mimishra b'Shabbos. It was on Shabbos. So he ripped off a radish from the ground, which is not allowed to be, you're not allowed to rip things from the ground on Shabbos. The Yorvlen, he gave it to her. So what did he basically say to her? I'm not religious anymore. So Amra, she said, Acher hu, then you're somebody else. And that's how he got the name Acher. Because the Zayna said you must be somebody else. There's an interesting question over here in Chassidus. There's a maimer of the Rebbe Malash. How are they able to punish Matat? How can angels do wrong if they have no free choice? We know the difference between people and angels. People have free choice. Angels don't have free choice. Right? So this is the very basic question. How can they punish Matat for doing something wrong if Matat has no free choice? So there's a maimed that we learned, by the way, in the morning once, a long time ago, Mikom Mechav Rebbe Marash. And Rebbe Marash asks the question, and he says, there were certain malachim that were people originally. And he says, Matatritun was chaneich, that Hashem took away early. Chaneich was going in the footsteps of God, and God made him die early. This is what the pasuk says in Bereishis. So it says in Kabbalah that Matat was really chaneich, became a malach. And because he was once human, he still had free choice enough to be able to punish him. So when Matat indirectly caused Acher to sin, so they're able to punish him. Because he was once a person. But a real angel, that was never anything but an angel, obviously can't be punished because he's not an angel. And because he's not doesn't have free choice.
That's it.
What was the answer to Acher's question? One second. One answer is what it says, that there's no sitting or standing and all that, refers to God. Matat is not God. Acher thought Matritutin was God, so he said, how could God sit? But Matritutin was only a malach. No, no. Obviously not. What do you think? They have chairs upstairs?
That's what I mean. Well, they all stand up for when Hashem has a meeting with the angels. The angels sit, God sits, Hashem sits down. Angels stand up. Well,
see, he brings down, one second, he brings down an interesting thing. They even call Tesis. See, they answered completely. The Matatim didn't feel the blows by it. They did it for Acher, not for Matat. When they beat up Matat, they wanted to show Acher that you're punished for doing something wrong. But the Mefarshim say Matat didn't even feel the pain. They just did it for Acher's purposes. There's a whole bunch of things over here what happened with him. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues and says, Shaul Acher es Rab Meir. Now Acher is Elisha ben Avuya, was Rab Meir's Rebbe. Okay? So Rab Meir, as the Gemara will soon see in the Gemara, Rab Meir still learned Torah from Acher. He kept learning Torah because Acher was still brilliant. He wasn't frum, but he was brilliant. So Rab Meir continued learning Torah from him. So Shaul Acher is Rabbi Meir. Acher asked Rabbi Meir, his student, after he went out to Tarbisra, after he became strayed, you know, from Yiddishkeit, Amalei, so Acher said to Rabbi Meir the following question. My dechsiv, what is this that it says in the Pasuk? Gamezeh lo'umezeh osor likim. God made one opposite the next. Yes, Rabbi Meir, what does this Pasuk mean? Amalei, komashe bara kodesh baruchu, whatever God created in the world, bara kenegdei, he created something corresponding to it. For instance, bara harim, he created mountains. Bara gorais, he created hills. Bara yamim, he made seas, he made rivers. So basically, whatever God made, he made big things, he made little things. Amalei, so Acher said to him, Rabbi Kiva rabach le'yomakach, that's not the way your Rabbi Kiva learned it. Rabbi Meir learned Torah, the Gemara says in Saita. Rabbi Meir went to Rabbi Kiva to learn. He went to Rabbi Shmuel to learn. And he went to Acher to learn. Rabbi Meir went around. He got around various different teachers. So Acher asked Rabbi Meir, how do you interpret the Pasuk? So Rabbi Meir told him, God made oceans. He made rivers. He made mountains. He made hills. So Acher says to him, that's not the way Rabbi Kiva learned it. What did Rabbi Kiva say? He said, Bara tzadikim, bara rishoyim. Not, you know, Rabbi Meir interpreted the Pasuk of things similar to one another. Mountains, hills, big and small. He said, that's not what it means. Rabbi Kiva said, God created opposites. Meaning, he created Tzadikim, he created Rishoyim. He created Gan Eden, he created Gehenim. Kol Echad ve'echad yesh li shnei chalokim. Each person has two portions. Echad be'Gan Eden ve'echad be'Gehenim. He says, Acher said, Rabbi Kiva learned, every Jew has two parts. Every Jew has a share up there in Gan Eden and a share in Gehenim. You merit, you go to Gan Eden. You don't, you get your share in Gehenim. But every person has a ready share there. We all have investments in Gan Eden and in Gehenim. Zocha tzadik, if you merit, like a righteous person, not a chalke v'chelik chaveda b'Gan Eden, you take your friend's share who goes to Gehenim and your own share and you go to Gan Eden. Nischayev Rasha, when a person is a Rasha, he goes to Gehenim. Okay? Amar Rav Mesharshi, said Rav Mesharshi, what? Yeah. Acher, I think, was alluding to the fact that he's going to Gehenim with some other people. I mean, you know, something like that. Amar Rav Mesharshi said, "My kro
Where do we see this in a pasuk? So he says, Gabi tzadikim, k'siv by tzadikim, the pasuk says, Lachem ba'aretz mishne yiroshu. In their land, they're going to inherit double. Now, the land of a tzaddik is Gan Eden. How is he going to get double? He's going to get his share and his friend's share. Gabi Rishoyim Ksiv, by Rishoyim, it also says, Umishna Shibarin Shavrim. Bring upon them an evil and devastate them with double disaster. So you see that a person can get double Gehenim and double Gan Eden. Another thing, then the Gemara says another story. Shaul Achas Rab Meir Lachas Shiyotzel Latar B'Israel. Rab Meir asked, I mean, Achas asked Rab Meir after he went out to evil, and he said to him the following: My Dechsiv, what is this that it says in the pasuk? La Yarchen Ozov. It speaks about wisdom that people don't understand the value of wisdom. So he says, golden glass cannot approximate it. Nor can its exchange be in golden articles. So yes, what does this pasuk mean? Amalei Rameir said, Elo divrei teira, refers to the words of teira, shakosh and l'knesin, that you can't buy them, kechlizav v'chlipaz, it's difficult to acquire them like gold and fine gold, meaning it's very expensive, it's hard to buy. So we Amalei Sa'achis said to him, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Chol Yamar Kach. Your Rabbi, Rabbi Kiva, didn't say this. He didn't learn like this. Oh, I'm sorry. V'neichem la'abnen, you're right. V'neichem la'abnen g'chlis chuchas. But they're easy to lose by forgetting like glass vessels that you drop, they break. So in other words, he said like this. It's hard to acquire Tato, but it's very easy to lose it. 1 second. Okay. The Meir interpreted the pasuk to mean it's hard to acquire Torah, but it's very easy to lose it. Okay? So Amalei Sa'achis said to him, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Chol Yamar Kach, that's not the way your Rabbi, Rabbi Kiva taught it. Elo, Rabbi Kiva said the following, Ma'izo v'kleis ches tzchuchis, af shal pi shenishbiru yeshlam takana, just like gold and glass. If you break them, you can fix them. They can be remelted and reformed. Av Talmud Chochem, even a Talmud Chochem. Av Pisha Sarach, even though he became sour, Yashle Takani could do tshuva. So, the Achid is saying, you know how Rabbi Kiva interpreted this pasuk? That you could do tshuva. A scholar could do tshuva. So Amalei, Sir Meir said to Acher, "No afatar chazibach, so do tshuva." Amalei, so he said, "Kvar shemati ma'achuri apargud, I've heard from behind the fence, shuva vanim shevivim chutz mi Acher, that everybody could do tshuva except Acher." So Acher said to Rabbi Kiva, "I mean, to the mayor, I'm sorry. I heard that I can't do tshuva." It's brought down in Sfarim, especially in Chassidus, that Achas should have pushed in and he still would have been done tshuva. It says in Chassidus that even those people that God himself says he can't do tshuva, if you push hard enough, you could still do tshuva. But he didn't learn Chassidus, that was his problem. So he didn't know, Achas didn't know that you could do tshuva even though the Torah says you can't. And it says that this is something negative about Acher, that he, even though the voice came out from heaven that he heard, that said Acher can't do tshuva, he should have still done tshuva. And it would have been accepted. So now to the Rabbanan learned another Acher story. Ma'ase ba'Acher, there was a story with Acher, she'yerechav al asus b'Shabbos. He was riding a horse in Shabbos. This is after he turned off. But Acher was riding a horse in Shabbos, but he was learning. And a mayor was walking behind the horse to hear Torah from Acher. So after a while, Acher said to the mayor, Chazel Acherecha,
Meir, you got to go home. Why? Shekvashiyarti bikvisusi. I already calculated of the footsteps of my horse ad kantchum Shabbos, that this is the boundary that you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. Can you imagine the brilliance of these people? He's riding a horse, he's talking Torah, and yet he's calculating how many amis, how many cubits they're walking, or he was riding, and in the middle he says to the mayor, you're not allowed, you're still religious, you can't walk anymore, you gotta go home.
Counting the horse
right. Right. Amalei, so the mayor said to Acher, Afatoch Azebach, you also go back. So he said, Amalei, so Acher answered him back, didn't I tell you I can't? I heard behind the curtain that that I still can't. So what Rameh was a Chabadnik. What did he do? Takve alay lebei medrasha. Rameh grabbed Acher and schlepped him into the base medrash. Amalei Yenuka. And you have to understand, it's an unbelievable Gemara coming up. Acher was very superstitious. And when he saw a kid in the yeshiva, he wanted to hear, like we find by Purim, you know, Matre asked the kids, tell me a pasuk. Haman asked the kids, tell me a pasuk. In the olden times, even the Goyim, the guy that was sent near in Kesa to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, he also asked kids psukim. He stopped Jewish kids and said, tell me what you learned today in school. And that was like, by them, a divine message from God. So the mayor schleps Acher into the Beis Medrash. Amalei LeYenuka, so Acher said to a young boy standing outside, Psukli Pesekecha, tell me what pasuk did you learn today? Amalei, so the kid said to Acher, Ein Shalim Amal Hashem L'Rashoyim. There's no peace, God says, for the wicked. Exactly what he had to hear. Adel Ben Kinnish Nacharite. So the mayor brought him into a different shul. Amalei Yenuka, Acher said to this kid, Psukli Psukecha, tell me you're a pasuk. So he said, Amalei, the kid said to him, what I learned was, in the Chapsi Baneser, even if you were to wash with soap, Visabi Loch Buddhist, and you wash with a lot of soap, Nichtem Aveinich Lefonai, your sins still stand before me. Another knockdown for Acher. He took him into another shul. But you see, the mayor didn't give up. The mayor took him to a third shul. Amalei Acher said to a kid, Psukli Psukacha, tell me your pasuk. Amalei, so the kid said to him, Ve'at Shadud Matasi, you plundered one, what will you do? Kisel Bashani Shon, if you wear scarlet. Kisadi Adezov, if you don golden ornament. Kisikri Kapuchen Nach, even if you paint your eyes with mascara. La Shav Tesyapi, you're beautifying yourself in vain. Another knockdown to Acher. Adele Bekinish Tachrin, so the mayor brought him into another show. Ada Adele Tleise Bnei Kinish, he brought him into 13 different shuls. Kula no, that's not counted. Kula Paskula Gavna. All the 13 places, and it could be, I don't know if the Mepharshim say this, but Yud Gimel represents Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, you know, to awaken the mercy of God for Anacher. Kula Paskula Gavna. All the kids said similar psukim that basically said, whatever you do is going to be worthless. The Basra Amalei, to the last kid in the last shul, Acher said, Psukli Psukecha, tell me your pasuk. Amalei, so the kid said, Ula Rasha Amar Lekim, to the Rasha God says, Malacha L'Saper Chukai, what purpose do you say my laws? And the Gemara says like this, Ahu Yenuka, the last kid, have Megamgim Belishni, he stuttered. The kid was stuttering. Ishtama kamada amalei. It's what he really said. The pasuk says ularasha amalekim. But Elisha thought Acher's name was Elisha. That he said, he thought the kid said ula Elisha amalekim. The kid stuttered. So when he said Rasha, it sounded like Elisha. So it sounded like this was the bomber. He said that to Elisha, God says, why are you telling my mitzvahs?
Ikadamri, other people say, Sakina Avabade, that Acher had a knife with him. Veshadr al Tlaisa Beknishta, and he cut the kid up. One opinion, the Gemara says, Acher killed this kid, cut him up into 13 pieces, and sent one piece to each shul. Veikadamri, and other people say, not that he killed him, not that he did, but he said, if I would have a knife in my hand, have a cut in, I would rip you apart. But not that he actually killed him. Okay? The Gemara is not done with Acher. Kinoch nafshi de Acher, when Acher finally died, Amra, so they said in heaven, Lo medayna ledayna, we cannot execute of Gehenim against him. But at the same time, we can't bring him to Gan Eden. In other words, we can't bring him to Gehenim for all the Torah that he learned. We can't bring him to Gan Eden because he turned away from Yiddishkeit. So what should we do?
But the heaven caused him to... So the heaven caused him to be
One, one second. So the Gemara explains. Le Maiden, Le Dina, we cannot put him into Gehenim, Mishim da Osig Veraisi, because he learned Torah. And Torah, the Gemara says, protects the person from Gehenim. V'le Yama da Osir, we can't bring him to Gan Eden, Mishim da Chotah, because he sinned. So heaven was at a dilemma, what to do with Acher. Amir Ameir, and there's also a very famous Gemara that the Chassidus brings down, Amir Ameir, Ameir said, Mot of the Ladaina is better to get him go to Gehenim, V'le Yisid da Amir da Osir, that he should come to Gan Eden. And this is what the source of what Chassidus explains. It's better for a Jew to go through Gehenim, to become cleansed, to be able to go to Gan Eden. So our mayor said, now we can't put, heaven said, we can't bring him to Gehenim. We can't bring him to Gan Eden. Right? We're stuck. So our mayor said, you know what, heaven? Take him to Gehenim, let him burn, and then at least he'll go to Gan Eden. And he said, the mayor continued, Masay Amos, the mayor said, when I die, Va'ala Ashen Mekivrei, I will raise smoke from his grave, that he should enter Gehenim. Okay, so what did the mayor say? When I die, I'm going to force Acher to go to Gehenim. I'm going to make fire come up from his grave. Kinoch Nafshid Rameir, so when the mayor Taka died, Sala Kutra Mekivrei Da Acher, a pillar of smoke came up from Acher's grave. Amr Rabbi Yechon said many years later, Gvorta lemikla rabbe, is it great to burn your teacher? Chadhava beinono, there was one student amongst us who stumbled. And he went away from Yiddishkeit. Vle matzila natzum, we can't save him. You know, as Rabbi Yechon said, what are you burning your rabbi for? We can't save him, we have to do something to save Acher. What happened? Inakta biyad, if I take him by hand, to take him to Gan Eden, man marilene, who's going to stop me from doing it? Rabbi Yechanan said, when I die, I'm dragging Acher with me to Gan Eden. Amar, they said, Masay Amos. So Rabbi Yechanan said, when I die, Achaba Asher Mekivre, I'm going to extinguish the fire from Acher's grave. Kinoch Nafshid Rabbi Yechanan, when Rabbi Yechanan Taka died, Pasek Kutu Mekivre Acher, the smoke stopped coming from Acher's grave, meaning he finally finished Gehenim, and he went to Gan Eden. Pasachul Asafdana, this eulogizer, when they eulogized Rabbi Yechanan, they said, Rabbi Yechanan is so great, Afilu Shemir HaPesach, even the watchman of Gehenim was afraid of Rabbi Yechanan. What did Rabbi Yechanan do? He took Acher out of Gehenim and brought him to Gan Eden. So he said, even the guard of Gehenim was afraid of Rabbi Yechanan. That's how great he was. Afilu Shem HaPesach Le'amed Lefanecha Rabbeinu. Okay,